Now, dear Mrs. Gomez, I will focus my attention just for a little while on you, because I think that you, too, are a very special person in many ways, in ways that only you know. And you know the care, the trouble, the inconvenience that you had to endure for your beloved Manny. You gave him the opportunity to have a dignified death in his own house, in his own home, in his own room, and in his own bed. That was no small thing. I thank you, and I think we all do. May you be blessed. There were times, I know, when Manny was a little bit difficult. We all know that. And there were times, too, in his latter weeks and months when Manny could not bring his mind to be in complete coordination with his arms and hands. But we all know about that, and so do you. And the times that he might have thrown the pillow at you in frustration, he didn't mean that. He didn't mean that at all. He loved you. And that was that. I'm not going to speak at length about Manny. I have some things I want to tell you, because I think everybody here knows Manny, and you don't need me to tell you about him. But before we start that, there were just some few things that I bring to your attention so that you will be familiar as to what to do. The body will be brought out of the church after the little ceremony when I'm finished. And the body will be carried to the cemetery. We will all walk to the cemetery. The pallbearers will walk alongside the hearse. The hearse will follow the cross going to the cemetery. And in your pews, you will find these little booklets here. Please, unless you specifically want to, please do not keep them. Put them someplace. We'll pick them up afterwards. This little booklet is divided into three parts. Going to the cemetery, while we are at the cemetery, and on the way back from the cemetery, when we will come back into the church and finish the little prayer, and it is finished. The seven penitential psalms are included here and other prayers. Please speak up when you are in the process of reciting what's in here. Of course, you will not be able to keep up with each other, and that's understood. But say the prayers out loud, so that you can be heard. At the cemetery, likewise. On the way back, likewise. When I finish my little talk in a moment, I've asked Mrs. Gomez to go to the coffin and to pluck a rose and to bring it to the Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, I certainly welcome all of our visitors this morning. And may you always be happy and joyful for having come to visit us this day. Death is a teacher. And this morning, Manny Gomez is the voice of that teacher. And the grave that we are about to go to visit is a classroom. Manny Gomez was an unusual person. And I think I do, at least in part, know just how unusual this man really was. To begin with, in all of his suffering, and we all know the immensity of his suffering, no matter when you might have asked him, "Manny, how do you feel?" And his answer immediate was, "I feel great." I never heard him say, "I feel bad." His body, no doubt, was full of pain. But I don't think Manny was talking about his body. I think he was talking about his soul. Manny was no actor. Manny didn't know how to act. Manny was genuine. And Manny was constantly occupied about the things of God. This is not to say that he took away from his other duties that he had to perform. Those were well taken care of. But Manny was always and always occupied with God. Manny knew how to love. And love was his only work. And love was his only treasure. And when I used to see him, when he would come into the church, and Mrs. Gomez would bring him here on a Saturday afternoon so that he could go to communion, she would always take him to the Blessed Mother, to visit the Blessed Mother. And you could see in his eyes what was going on. I was not part of it. I sat over there on that side. I was all by myself. And I looked. And it is my opinion, though we are not canonizing Manny this morning, that's why we have him draped in the black pall. His canonization belongs to God, if there is such. We are only here to consign him to the ground that he belongs to, that this thing here belongs to. And I used to sit over here and I would watch and I would look at his eyes. And it is my opinion that that man had vision. And when he looked at the Blessed Mother, the statue of the Blessed Mother, his eyes saw beyond a piece of plaster. And from years back, anytime he would walk into this church, the minute he would come through that door, he was different. He did not put on an act. You knew immediately that he knew he was in presence. That he was in the presence of his Eucharistic Lord in the tabernacle on the altar. And he fell on his knees, completely unaware of anybody around him. This was no act. Manny did not know how to act. He was in the presence of his Lord. That he had vision, that he could see, I do not know. Nobody knows but Manny and God. I told you a moment ago that death is a teacher. My beloved people, do not take me to be gloomy, and do not take us to be gloomy or morose because we drape in black. We drape in black because we do not really know what is in the mind of God. That Manny was without fault, that he was without sin, we dare not think that. Is anyone in this room, including myself, without sin? And because we are without sin, we are uncertain. And we have offended an almighty God, the omnipotent God, the creator God, who today is completely outruled, forgotten about, obliterated in the minds of so many of his creatures. This is not Manny anymore. This we treat with honor and reverence because this, which is in this box, once held Manny in its arms. And staying behind, and the oak is a horn, this and everything isn't of any good. Even the death, the taking away of the spirit of that which made this move, where is it? Where is Manny Gomez right now? My beloved people, please hear me. Every one of us, myself included, everyone that's in this room right now, every one of us would at one time or another be in a similar box. Every one of us will be brought to a hole in the ground. Not one of us is going to be excused from this. And after the hole in the ground, my precious people, then what? We live as though then what is right now. We live freely. We live without responsibility. We forget. And we place our emphasis on everything that is totally unimportant. This box, as far as this world is concerned, is the greatest reality that everyone in this room is going to have to face sooner or later. Why do we not live accordingly? Why do we go about with complete abandon as if there is no God? We are not here in this church to argue about anything. We are not here in this church to prove anything to anybody. The only reason why we are in this church is to prepare ourselves for that. Did you hear me? For that. You want peace of mind, you want happiness, you want joy of heart, you want freedom? Then get ready for this. You want slavery? You want riches? You want all of the pleasures of the world? Then forget this. I'm not trying to be dramatic. But what is life? Why are we here? Why did God put you and you and you and you and you and you here? For one reason only, and that is to prove your love for Him. He doesn't need our wealth. He doesn't need our power. As I have said before in other times, God does not need me to hang the moon every night. Why am I here? Why are you here? Only one reason. Love must be your work. And love must be, I should say, our work. Love must be our work. And love must be our treasure. If we do not have love, then let's go out and make a million today. Enjoy it, have fun. Visit every place you can think of that needs to be visited. Have all the pleasure that this world has to offer if there is not love. The trouble is, the unfortunate part of it all is that we today have degenerated the whole notion of love and have made it the activity of chemistry. And when the chemical reaction falls asleep, then we look around again and again and again. There's something wrong with that. And we have to admit it. And in this classroom is where the answer is. The most serious lecture that this earth can possibly preach is preached by that right there. We do not know. We knew about Manny. Manny was well prepared. Indeed, he was. But the rest of us, we do not know the hour nor the day when it will come to us. So, this is not an ending. It is a beginning for Manny. Manny's captivity is over. He is free. And please God, he is in the pleasure of God. And that God, hopefully, is in his pleasure. Death is not the blackest thing on earth for a good man or a good woman. Death is the most magnificent blossom that we can possibly think on. And so we're not gloomy. We cry, of course we cry. You're going to cry many days, Mrs. Gomez. That is perfectly normal. Your companion has gone. Mrs. Gomez, thank God that you lived with such a prince. God bless you. God bless all of you. And remember this day, my beloved people, Mrs. Gomez. In conclusion, many died on the feast of Saint Benedict, which was last Sunday, the patron also of a happy death. Manny was buried today on the feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Mother, the turning point of human history. You will notice here in the sanctuary, there are items that you have not seen before. You will see another funeral pall, and you will see other candles, funeral candles. This morning at 8 o'clock Mass, our Father Joseph made his final vows. And is it not wonderful that Father Joseph was under that funeral pall, as far as this world goes, as far as his worldly self goes, he was dead. He died. And we tolled the bell that he should have died on such a day as this. And then he came back to life, a new man in the glory of God. This is the only thing that makes any sense in a world, my beloved people, that makes no sense. We pray for Manny. We pray for us, you, We pray for the monks and the sisters. We pray for Father Joseph. We pray for Mrs. Gomez. Please just remain seated. May I give you my blessing before we continue with the ceremony.